We'll listen to Ronnie. Ronnie remembers, remembers the oldies, the 50s and 60s.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am pleased to be talking to one of the most elegant baritone singers in the annals of recorded music.
Well,
I got that off your website, so it must be true, Chuck Jackson. This is Chuck Jackson, the man who put I Don't Want to Cry and Any Day Now on the map, and a lot of other recordings as well. 20 or so records that made the pop chart over the years.
Yeah, about 25.
Just about 25.
Yep.
Not bad. So, we're going to spend the next few moments celebrating your wonderful career, which I guess started when you were a little kid. Did you say, I want to be a singer? How did that happen?
My wife Helen and I were talking about it last night. My grandmother, who raised me, and my aunt told me when I guess around 9 years old, 10, told me that I started singing when I was about, like, maybe 2 or 3. And I wasn't speaking the words clearly. But there was a song back then, and I don't remember who did it, but it had something like Flatfoot Susie with the Zaza. So I was singing that, and they would laugh at me. Yeah.
I think I remember that, which gives you an idea of how old I am. Actually, even though I sound younger, but I never associated you as a flatfoot.
I don't know. I had to hear it somewhere. I was only about 2 or 3 years old, and by the time I was 5, I was singing. And then when I was like 7, I started singing in school.
Did you take any vocal lessons?
Not really. When I was about 14, I had a teacher in school that, you know, did a few sessions with me, but not true training, no.
Pretty much everything that you picked up by yourself.
Yes, I did everything. As a matter of fact, just jumping the gun a little bit, I did a thing at the Waldorf Astoria about a month ago now, and I did the national anthem. And when I finished, a gentleman came up to me and told me, I was sitting with a guy from Lincoln Center, the, you know, an opera singer, who said, my God, who taught him? Who, you know, and...
Quite a compliment.
It was a heck of a compliment, and... Just thank God I still have my chords.
Do you still sing the old hits in the same key?
Yes. Definitely. As a matter of fact, my voice is going up about an octave.
Oh,
yeah.
It's gone up?
Yeah.
Wow. That's
yeah.
Unusual.
It really is.
Just imagine years from now what you're going to sound like.
Oh, my God, I'll be a soprano.
Yes. Did you get compliments from your teachers?
Oh, my God. The reason I am... who I am today is because of my teachers. There was a gentleman that became like almost my father, and he sort of took me on and just was there for me, I guess when I was like in about the 9th grade, and I ran away from home shortly after, but he was my agriculture teacher. I was in South Carolina, and he sort of just took me on, and he would let me drive his car and, you know, that kind of thing.
How old were you?
I guess around... 12.
Wait a minute. Time out here. He let you drive his car?
Yes.
And you were 12 years old?
I started driving when I was about 10.
Not legally.
Not legally, no. No. But he would be in the car with me, but I love to drive.
Okay.
So he would let me drive his car. My story is, when I was about, I guess, 9, a gentleman heard me sing at a church. And after the services were over, he came to me and he said, my name is Howard J. Hughes, and I have a radio show on Sunday morning, and I would love for you to be a part of it.
Wow.
He said, I'm going to talk to your mother, who was my grandmother. And he talked to her, and she said, you know, no problem, but he said, you have to get him there. So I had a guy who became my uncle. He married my aunt. He had a friend who would pick me up every Sunday morning and take me to the radio station, which was, I guess, about 20 miles from where I live. And I played piano. So what I would do, I would open the show with a song, and it was only 15 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And then I would close the show with a song. And that's how I actually started to get the professionalism. I was nine.
This was before you started driving.
No, now what happened was this guy, the place, the radio station was about maybe not 20, maybe about 18 miles from us.
Oh, I see.
And what he would do, he would pick me up, and I would ask him every Sunday to let me drive. So he started to let me drive.
Okay.
And he sort of taught me the rules, you know, and every Sunday when I would get in the car at the house, he would just slide over and I'd get under the wheel and I would drive. And I've always been slightly tall.
Oh, okay. So you looked older.
Yeah, I was tall.
But you never got stopped by a cop.
No, never. Got my license when I think I was 14.
Oh, okay. And what state was that?
South Carolina.
South Carolina.
I was born in Winston-Salem. And my mother sent me to my grandmother when I was 18 months. And I was in Ladder, South Carolina, and I ran away from home at 14. I ran away to Pittsburgh. And when I got to Pittsburgh, I was staying with my aunt, and I went back to school. I was not going to drop out of school.
Why did you run away from home?
My grandmother was so strict that I could hardly breathe. It was awful. And the kids in school would laugh at me a lot because she would do strange things. And I was a basketball player. And this one day we had played a rival school. And after we finished the game, right across the street from the school, it was this little place that had a jukebox and, you know, people would go there to dance. We won the game and we invited them to come across the street. So all of us were in this place dancing and all of a sudden I'm dancing with this girl and, you know, trying to hit on her. And I feel something in my collar, in the back of my neck, and everybody's laughing. I look around and I lived about maybe four houses from the school. My grandmother, she was in her nightgown. And she grabbed me and snatched me and threw me out of that place. And the next day when I went to school, it was terrible.
Oh, I would assume so.
And that's when I just made it up in my mind. And believe it or not, the teacher that I told you about earlier,
yes.
He and another teacher.
Right.
And then there was another teacher. There was another town about 7 miles from where I was raised in Ladder, South Carolina,
right.
A place called Dillon, South Carolina.
Okay.
And there was another teacher that was like my mentor, too. And it was four of them. Between the four of them, they helped me to run away.
Okay. Oh, yeah. It was like a conspiracy here.
Yes, sir, that's what it was. And my best friend, his mother, my aunt sent me a ticket. And my best friend's mother got the ticket. And all of these people helped me to run away from my grandmother.
You went from Carolina to Pittsburgh.
To Pittsburgh.
Did you travel
by bus, Greyhound? Well, let me tell you what happened. I guess I was about 11, and I won a scholarship. We had a mixed group choir with boys and girls. And we were in a contest, and my school represented Dillon County in South Carolina. And we won all of the events before the finals, and we were in the finals, and I was singing a song with the choir called The Holy City. And at the end of the song, the music teacher told me not to hit the high notes because nobody else was doing it. And I had been listening to Mary Alonzo. I loved him.
Yeah.
And I loved the way, you know, his crescendos. It was just incredible to me. So the end of the song, I would always hit this high C. And she told me not to do it. And we were singing the song, and they had three judges.
Uh-huh.
And this is South Carolina, and it was three white elderly women. And this is all black, you know, schools. And I'm singing, and when I get to the end of the song, I couldn't help it. I just hit this high note and just held it up there. And I looked down at the judges, and this one woman was crying. And at the end of everything, we won. And this one woman said to my teacher that she and her group was going to see that I got a musical scholarship to South Carolina State in Orangeburg, South Carolina. And it was the first musical scholarship that the school had ever given. They had agriculture and sports. That was the only two things that they would give scholarships for.
I am impressed. And ladies and gentlemen, he got that scholarship because of that high note. That's what did it. That one note. So if you want to get a college scholarship, well, it doesn't always work that way because that note has to be crystal clear and pure.
Exactly.
And I don't know if we can guarantee you. I mean, listen, folks, you're not all Chuck Jackson.
Well, I wish there were.
We're going to move now to you getting with Scepter Records, and of course, it began with a hit called I Don't Want to Cry. If you need a hit record, the way to do it is write it yourself, right?
Well, you know, Philadelphia plays such an important role in this. I was with a group, the Dell Vikings.
Oh, yes.
And we were traveling, and we were doing theaters, and we got to Washington, D.C., and Jackie Wilson was the headliner. We were doing the show. We were there a week. Mm-hmm. And one day, one of his men came to our dressing room and said that Jackie wanted to speak to me.
Right.
So I went to his dressing room. They called me Charles. And he said, Charles, I've been listening to you all week. I want to tell you that you have a great voice. I want to see if I can help you. He said, I'm opening the Apollo Theater in a month. If you will come to New York and meet me there, I will put you on my show. Talk to your fellows. So I went back to the dressing room and I spoke to the guys and they said, if it's going to help you, Charles, go ahead. So we finished that week and I left and I went to Philadelphia. I had been going to Philadelphia quite a bit. I had a record out before I went with the Dell Vikings called Come On and Love Me. And Philadelphia, Georgie Woods and those guys, Georgia was just starting then. Anyway, I came back through Philadelphia from Washington and there was a lady there that I was seeing who worked with Georgie Woods at the Uptown Theater. So I went to her house, and usually, you know, I knew where the key was. So I went there, and the key wasn't there, so I knocked on the door, and nobody answered. And I kept knocking, and I heard something moving around in the apartment. Anyway, I said, well, why aren't you opening the door? What's going on? So I turned the knob, and the door opened. So I went in, and the window was open in the back, and we were on the second floor.
Right.
And I went to the window, and I saw a guy running up the alley. She wasn't there, but evidently he had been there, and she left him there. So I was just completely broken. So I went to New York, and I met Jackie, and, you know, we started doing the show. And by middle week, two people came to my dressing room, and it was Florence Greenberg and Luther Dixon.
Uh-huh.
And they said, we watched your show, and we think that you could be a recording artist. And we'd love for you to come and record with us. And they said that we know that you've had other offers. And I had some people come back from other record companies.
Wow.
But they said, we know you've had other offers, but if you come with us, we'll give you your own label.
Wow.
And that label was Juan.
Right. Now, she had actually the parent label, Scepter Records.
Scepter Records. And the only people they had then were the Shirelles.
Right.
So anyway, I just loved the idea of having my own label, so I said, okay. So they didn't have to give me any front money or anything. I had my own label.
Wow.
So Luther Dixon called me one day after we closed the theater, and he said to come by his apartment. He wanted to do some writing. So I went by, and I'm sitting at the piano, and we're playing. So he said, now, Chuck, just tell me of a bad incident in your life where you were just completely broken.
Mm-hmm.
A woman just totally broke your heart.
Right.
He said, just think of something. So I started playing these notes, and I said, well, I was in Philadelphia, and I went to this girl's house, and she wasn't there, and a fellow was there. You know, man. He said, well, how did you feel? I said, I didn't want to cry. So he said, that's it. I said, what's this? He said, you didn't want to cry, right? So I said, yeah. I don't want to cry. He said, no, you don't. No, I don't want to cry. That's it. And we just sat down, and I started playing, and we started writing, and that's how it came about.
I still love you, just like I did before. But before you smile and walk through the door, darling, I don't want to cry. Come and go, like the morning sun. I was so serious, but you were having fun. Now, baby, now, I don't want to cry.
Lawrence Greenberg gave you your own label. Now, little did you know that there was going to be a rock and roll classic made on that label shortly thereafter by a group called the Kingsmen, and that is Louie Louie. They recorded for Wand Records, too. But you would
we got to put the Isley Brothers in there, too.
And the Isley Brothers, too. But you were the first one, and they created it for you.
Right. Oh, definitely.
That is amazing, an amazing story. We're going to move to the follow-up to I Don't Want to Cry, and it was called It Never Happens in Real Life. Now, you had a little problem with this. Apparently, you had recorded something on Beltone Records called Mr. Pride.
Come On and Love Me and Mr. Pride were the two records I had before.
Yeah, and guess what they did? Now, Chuck Jackson is hot. So we're going to re-release Mr. Pride.
Yeah, I remember.
And they did. Let's hear a little bit of Mr. Pride.
If I were to ask you to come by my side, even though I have often lied, would you try to comfort and ease my pain? Would you pour your thoughts upon me like rain? Knowing I feel a deep sense of shame, would it be wrong to ask you once again to love me, won't me? Don't try to decide now, just push Mr. Pride aside.
Well, that was a little bit of Mr. Pride, which, by the way, made the chart on the same week that your follow-up made the chart, which was your Wand follow-up, It Never Happens in Real Life. And maybe that hurt a little bit to have two records.
It did hurt, and that's why neither one of them, you know, climbed the chart.
At least It Never Happens in Real Life got higher than Mr. Pride. We're going to play it right now.
Thank you.
about that. It never happened in real life. Most of those songs that made the charts here in Europe, I've had a lot of top 10 records that really did not make it in this country. And it never happened in real life at one of them.
We're going to get to Any Day Now right now because everybody's saying, Any Day Now, he's going to get to that record. Now, this one was a Burt Bacharach composition, but it was not a Burt Bacharach, Hal Davey composition. The co-writer of this was Bob Hilliard.
That's right.
What did you think of the song when you first heard Any Day Now?
Well, the song was actually recorded originally by a guy by the name of Lonnie Satin. And on the record itself, if you listen very carefully in the end, because back during that time we had a problem mixing and editing a record, because we only had, I think, then two tracks.
You were lucky you had two rather than one.
I'm telling you. But anyway, you could hear him a little bit. And also Tommy Hunt.
Oh, okay.
He was also on that track. They did it with him, too. They did a trial. But what happened was Burt Bacharach bought the tracks to Florence Greenberg, and then Florence Greenberg put Lonnie Satin and Tommy Hunt on there. Burt Bacharach found out about it.
Uh-huh.
And he came to Scepter, and he was really, really angry. And he told Florence, this song is for Chuck Jackson, and if he doesn't do it, it won't be done.
I see.
So that's how I got it. I was in the meeting when he said it. He was very, very upset that she had put these other two people on it because he bought it originally for me. But the reason Florence and those were doing it was because at the time I had a chart record going, and they couldn't release it right away. So that's why they tried doing it on those other two.
The record you're referring to, I'm not sure, it might have been I Wake Up Crying. It might have been a follow-up.
I Wake Up Crying. Yeah.
We're going to run I Wake Up Crying as a bonus track after the show because there's just so many we can't discuss every one. But in the case of Any Day Now, when you first heard the song, did you say, wow, that's a winner?
Oh, my Lord, yes. And you see, it wasn't quite finished when I heard it. We went back in the studio, and Burt added some more instruments to it. And I'll never forget, when I went in to do it, I was sitting in the control room, and Burt was in with the musicians. And they kept starting and stopping, starting and stopping. Burt said, there's something wrong here. I hear something, but I cannot figure out what it is. And he counted one, two, three, they started again. So then he came into the control room, and I'm sitting there with the engineer, and he said, there is something, I need something, a beat. There's something wrong with the beat. And, you know, everybody smoked then. And there was an ashtray sitting there on the desk, well, actually on the control table. Burt picked up the ashtray, and on the bottom, you remember how they used to have like a cloth bottom, and they had like maybe sand or rocks in the bottom of it?
Right, yes.
So anyway, Burt picked it up, and he started shaking it. He said, this is it. That's it. That's it. So he went back in, and he got to the mic, and he said, turn the mic up. And then he counted it off again, and if you notice, any day it goes off, boom, boom, boom. And the ashtray is doing,
and that was Burt?
That was Burt shaking an ashtray. That's right. He did the whole thing. He did the music.
He was a hands-on player. Turns out he was a musician on the record with that little...
Oh, yeah. Actually, he played piano, too.
We're going to take a listen to it right now. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a classic. What more can I say? This is Chuck Jackson and Any Day Now.
Any day now, I will hear you say goodbye, my love, and you'll be on your way. Then my wild, beautiful bird, you will have flown. Oh, any day. I'll be all alone. Oh, any day now, when your restless eyes meet someone new. Oh, to my sad surprise, tears of blue shadows will fall all over town. Will let me down. I know I shouldn't want to keep you if you don't want to stay until you're gone forever. I'll be home. Begging you to stay any day now. When the clock strikes go, you'll call it off. And then my tears will flow. Then the blue shadows will fall all over town. Love will let me die, 'cause you won't be around. Don't fly away, my beautiful bird. Don't fly away.
Any day now, Chuck Jackson. In fact, the song was a great copyright because it was recorded by many other artists, including Elvis Presley and Ronnie Millsap. Ronnie Millsap's record actually went to number one on the country chart.
That's right. I wanted to say something about Any Day Now. I was in Lake Tahoe at the Sahara, and I'm doing something. I don't know. I'm down in the lobby or something, but I knew Elvis was there too, and I was in the small room, and he was in the big room. So someone told me that Elvis was doing a sound check. So they said, now, we didn't tell him that you're going to come back, but I want you to go back and just say hello and surprise him. So I said, I don't want to surprise him. You know, I don't want to do that. So they said, no, go ahead. So I went backstage, and he was standing, getting ready to enter the stage, you know, going on. And I walked up, and I said, hello, Mr. Presley. And he turned around, and he said, hello. You know how you talk. So I said, I'm one of your greatest fans. He said, well, thank you. Thank you so much. I said, and thank you for recording one of my songs. He said, what song was that? I said, Any Day Now. He said, oh, my God, Chuck Jackson.
Oh, yeah, he didn't know who you were.
He didn't know who I was, and it was incredible.
Oh.
And we talked, and we laughed, and he said that he loved the song, and said when he first heard it, he told his wife that he had to record this song. And we talked, and then I caught his show that night. It was incredible.
It had to be one of the most special experiences of your life.
It was.
We're going to move now to a song called I Keep Forgetting. I forget what I was going to ask you about this record. I Keep Forgetting. It was actually the follow-up to Any Day Now.
Well, we were doing the theater circuit during that time. That's one of the songs that it just took my heart away because it was something so different. Nobody had ever attempted to do an R&B song like that with the kind of tempo.
It's very different. Who wrote the song, by the way?
Bert.
Okay.
Yeah, Bert Bacharach.
With who?
Well, I think with Hal David.
Well, this one, okay. So the other one was with Bob Hilliard. This one was with Hal David.
Yeah.
And this is Chuck Jackson, and I Keep Forgetting.
I keep forgetting you don't love me no more. I keep forgetting you don't want me no more. I keep forgetting that you told me that you didn't want me around anymore. But these stupid old feet just head for your seat, like they've done so many times before. And the stubborn old fist on the end of my wrist start knocking on the open door. I keep forgetting you don't love me no more. I keep forgetting you don't want me no more. I keep forgetting about those heartbreaking nights and those heartbreaking things that you said. I can't believe our love is dead. Though it's plain as can be that you're finished with me, I just can't get it through my head. I keep forgetting you don't love me no more. I keep forgetting you don't love me no more. forgetting you don't love me no.
One thing,
yes,
Ronnie, I wanted to finish what I was saying with Smokey Robinson. We were doing the theater circuit, and that time, I keep forgetting, it just came out, and everybody was just talking about it because it was so different. So we were at the Howard Theater in Washington, D.C.,
right.
And Smokey and I would always discuss our releases or our next release. So I was telling him, I said, man, I got a hit. I got a hit. Have you heard it? He said, yeah, man, I heard it. It's fantastic. He said, it is the bomb. He said, it's really the bomb. He said, but Chuck, it ain't no hit. I said, what are you talking about? He said, Chuck, it just ain't no hit. He said, it's one of the greatest pieces of material that we've ever heard. He said, but the thing is, it's before its time. He said, people have to dance to a beat, and it doesn't have the regular beat. So what you're doing, you're confusing the people.
In other words, if this got reviewed on American Bandstand, they'd say, I don't know if I can dance to it or not.
That's right. And that's right. And that was one of the things that we had a problem with, American Bandstand. I couldn't get it played.
Okay. Well, still a great record.
Well, it became a very big hit in the rest of the world.
You performed on American Bandstand, right?
Yes, I did.
Which ones did you do on American Bandstand?
I think it was Any Day Now.
And did you do one of the Murray the K shows at the...
Oh, my God.
You did a few of them?
I did.
Because there's a girl who told me to say hello. Her name is Denise Ferry. She's a member of the Delegates.
Hello.
And she's one of the two Jersey girls who owns the website, Jersey Girls Sing, and that's what this interview is on, that website. I talk to Denise very often, and she always speaks highly of Chuck Jackson.
Well, Murray the K gave me a title that went on to be sort of adapted by another very good friend and superstar, James Brown. Murray K called me Soul Brother Number One.
Wow.
That was my title.
Before James Brown?
Yes.
Well, okay, when James Brown became Soul Brother Number One, you became Soul Brother Number One Half. One half comes before one. There you go. That's even better.
Oh, my God. That's very true.
That
is very true.
So from now on, that's your title, Soul Brother Number One
Half. One
half.
Okay. But that's how Murray used to bring me on, because I was doing things that Jackie had taught me to do on stage that a lot of people weren't doing. I was very soulful, because during that time, everybody wanted to have a pop, you know, sort of title act, you know, in order to make the Billboard and the Cash Box chart. It was mostly you had to be slightly a pop singer, and I was a very soulful singer, and that's why he gave me that title.
Dionne Warwick was one of your label mates. Did you know her very well?
Very, very well. I just accepted an award for her last week here in New York. Dionne and I became friends, and we've been friends ever since.
Moving right along now to another female artist, Doris Troy. Many people remember Doris Troy had one huge hit, which was called Just One Look. But what many people don't remember is that Doris Troy did a duet with you called Tell 'Em I'm Not Home.
Well, Doris was also a background singer, and I met her in the studio.
Uh-huh.
And she brought the song to Luther Dixon, who played it for me, and I said, yes, I'll do it. And we went in the studio and recorded it, and the song became very, very popular. And so I asked her to come on the road with me. So she traveled with me for almost a year. We did Tell 'Em I'm Not Home in the show.
Mm-hmm. time I called you on the phone. They tell me that you're not at home. But last night when I called you before you found somebody new, and you don't know what to say or do. I'd feel better when I called you if you asked me not to fall.
Allen talking with Chuck Jackson, and sadly Doris Troy passed away a few
years
ago.
Yes.
What a tremendous talent she was.
I loved her.
Back in 1965, you had a chart record with Maxine Brown, Something You Got.
It's really funny. Maxine and I were friends, and we did a lot of shows together. And eventually her husband talked to me a few times about bringing her to SEPTA. So eventually they got with Florence and they worked the deal out, and Maxine became a part of the family. And I had at that time a very big band. I think I had about 12 musicians. That's what I traveled with. And I had a young lady, my opening performer, Yvonne Fair. And we were doing Hold On I'm Coming in my act. So anyway, Florence told me she saw the show one night, and she said, I want you, as soon as you get some time off, come into the studio and record a live album. So I went in, she gave me the whole week, and we started. And I was doing Tell 'Em I'm Not Home in the album, and Hold On I'm Coming. Florence came to me in the studio. Maxine was there that day.
I see.
And she said, Chuck, I want you to do it with Maxine, not with Yvonne. So at the time, this is incredible, in the studio was Valerie Simpson, Sissy Houston, Dee Dee Warwick, and one other singer, and Maxine. So we all just said, okay, we're going to do it. So Valerie did some of the background.
So we're talking about Something You Got.
Right.
Now, when you say it was a live record, it was in the studio, really. It wasn't a live record.
Oh, yeah, but you know what? We did it with the effects of
the effect.
A live performance.
Okay, the only reason I'm mentioning that is a lot of people associate live performances with in front of an audience.
Of course.
This was a studio live performance.
It was a studio live performance.
With some of the biggest names in the business backing you up, and Maxine Brown, your duet partner, and how could this possibly go wrong? It was fantastic.
Well, you know what? During that time, all of us were just such good friends. That, like, it was just easy to do anything. It didn't take us any time to do the album because everybody was just so, you know, into it.
This is Chuck Jackson along with Maxine Brown. Here is Something You Got.
Oh, something you got, baby.
Something I've got, baby.
You ought to know.
Something.
Tell
It on the live album. Right, I did it with her.
We do have one more we're going to close the show with, and it's one that you did with Dionne Warwick. But before we do, I want to talk about a couple of things. I understand that in addition to your professional commitments as a recording artist, you also do some organization and production as far as events for New York's world-famous Apollo Theater. You actually produce some shows from them?
I'm special events producer.
What does that entail?
I do a lot of their special events. Actually, I'm a part of the Apollo production unit. For instance, we have a show in June every year where we raise $2 million, and I get the bigger stars for them. Like, whenever I'm asked to, I'm not doing anything now until February.
That's the one I want to mention right now. Is it okay if I mention
that? Yes.
It's a benefit for the Bonaconti Fund to cure paralysis.
Yes.
And also for the Sheridan Arts Foundation.
Sheridan Opera House Arts Foundation.
Kind of a double benefit.
Yeah.
And
that's what it is.
It's not cheap.
No.
you got to pay. I'm not going to say what the prices are, but it's going to be a very special event on February 15th, 2011.
It's going to be called Smokey Robinson and Friends.
Okay.
And the friends are going to be Ashford Simpson and Chuck Jacks.
Ronnie Allen wasn't invited, but...
yes, you are invited.
Can I volunteer? Yeah.
You know what we did with Bonaconti? I just want to say this.
Yes.
It was incredible. I do the national anthem for their fundraiser every year at the Waldorf. And this past year, the one night, we raised $17,500,000.
$17,500,000. Tell us about Bonaconti, for those that don't know.
He was a football player. His son wanted to follow in his father's footsteps, and he became a football player. And now, I don't remember the college he was playing with, and I don't want to say anything wrong, but he became a big star at the university. I think he was running back. And one day, I heard him tell this story 1,000 times, mm-hmm. The ball was snapped and was handed off to him, and he said that's all he remembered. Uh-huh. And what happened was, he got hit. I don't know how, but anyway, it broke his spine. And he was to never walk again. But his father said that I'm going to work on a cure for paralysis until you walk. And he started the Bonner County Fund.
And that's what this is all about.
And that's what this is all about. And we've raised every year, just that one night, we raised about $6 million. But this year, a donor got up to speak, a woman.
Yeah.
And she said that she and her husband had been a part of this organization, how much she loved it. And she was donating $10 million.
Wow. What
one person.
And then, by the way, the giant football player was Nick Bonaconte, right?
Yes.
That's what was it. So this was his son.
That's right.
Is he going to be at this event?
Yes, he will be there. A lot of football. I just, as a matter of fact, made a... Now, I'm not saying he's going to be there, but I just, before you call, call Earl Monroe, who's going to be my guest, and we're going to have football players, basketball players, and then we're going to have players there that have been wounded in their crafts.
For those of you who would like to know more information about this, this gives me an opportunity to mention your official website, which is www.chuckjackson.org, O-R-G.
That's right.
Chuck, this has been a joy for me, and hopefully it will be for your fans throughout the world. You know, this is going to be on the Jersey Girl Sing website permanently, so... It's like a radio show that never goes off the air because people can listen to it anytime they want, on demand, 24/7, 365 days a year, and 366 days if it's a leap year. It has been a pleasure to talk to the man who, from this day forward, is going to be known as Soul Brother Number One Half. And that keeps, to, you know, James Brown is still number one.
That's right.
You're number one half.
That's right. I loved him.
Chuck, thank you so very much. I want to wish you continued success. When you go to Chuck's show, you're going to hear that high note that got him the scholarship. that university, which was a fantastic accomplishment. If you want to get a scholarship to a college, start practicing those high notes. You never, never know. We're going to close with something you did. I guess it was in the mid-70s, and it was with Dionne Warwick, and it's called If I Let Myself Go. And it was nominated for a Grammy Award.
Oh, yes. We were beaten out by Eric Clapton.
Well, you know, at least you had good competition there.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
We're going to close with this. What can you say about this particular song and this particular duet?
I did a movie, and it was called come on, Chuck.
Crack it, Chuck.
Mandela. It was the Mandela story.
All right, the Nelson Mandela story.
Nelson Mandela story. It was about his prison, and I played a prison guard at the prison that he was in Africa.
Uh-huh.
And they wanted me to get some music for the theme. And this song had been brought to me by a gentleman from Philadelphia, and I cannot remember his name, but he actually sent me the song in a disc. I was supposed to do the song as a solo. But I was doing this movie, and I told them that I took the song down to the set one day, and I played it for the director, and he loved the song, so we were gonna put it in the movie.
Right.
So I'm a person that stays up very late at night. So one night I'm up and I'm going through the song, and I started singing the song, and I heard the second voice, and the voice I heard was Sissy Houston.
Mm-hmm.
So the next morning I called Sissy. I said, Sissy, I got a song. You got to do it with me. And I sang it, and she said, well, I think she had to go on the road or something, but something happened, and she could not do it. So about a week later, I'm still up in the morning, I'm singing this song, and I said, Dionne, that's it. Dionne.
heck of a backup there, you know.
Yeah, you know. So I get on the phone, and I call Dionne, and I said, listen, I want you to do me a favor. I've got this song. You've got to sing it with me. So she said, well, what is it? So I said, just listen. So I put it on, and I sang along with the track. And when I got to the end, I hit this high note. And when I went back to the phone, she said, it's done. We're going to do it.
We're going to do it. And she walked on by, and she did
and
it.
And walked on by and came on in and let herself go.
You hit another high note. Are you still wait a minute. You hit another high note. Are you still trying to get another college scholarship here?
No, I'm really trying to get on the Ronnie Allen show.
Oh, well, you made that. You've made the big time. We're going to close with this song right now. Great recording, great performance, a duet. If I Let Myself Go, Chuck Jackson and Dionne Warwick. Thank you for everything, Chuck.
God bless.
On a sun. and we've never said
goodbye.
We'll take it slow, we'll give it a chance to grow. And when we know
that we were born to be the ones to save our lives from other loves that weren't quite right, we'll leave the past behind us, we'll let love come and find us.
There is just one thing I need to know, I wanna know, I've got to know. If I let myself go, it will be love all over again. If I let myself go, it will mean right from now to the end.
If I let myself go, it'll be love all over again. If I let myself go, it'll never end. Emotion is what I will give to you, to laugh and cry as the years go by.
We'll spend our lives together, we'll never say never.
There's just one thing I need to know, I want to know, I've got to know. If I let myself go, it'll be love all over again. If I let myself go, it will be right from now till the end.
Remembers the oldies, the 50s and 60s.
Well, that's the show. And now a couple of bonus tracks by Chuck. First off, we have one of his big hits. This one is called I Wake Up Crying.
I wake up crying after tossing and turning and yearning the whole night long. Birdie, baby, since you went away, I've spent a happy day.
Oh, baby, won't you
save me from this misery?
Oh, baby, won't you
save me from this misery?
Finally, here's Chuck's version of the Maxine Brown hit called All in My Mind. And you'll hear Maxine on this recording.
I think that you don't care, and it's more than I can bear. I don't know, baby, maybe it's all in my mind. All in my mind, that I've been true, but honey, sweetie, baby, what about you? I don't know, baby, maybe it's all in my
sometimes you give me the feeling that it's somebody else. I don't want you to worry. If you love me, just tell me it's all in my mind. I think that'll make me feel a little better. If you just say it to me with all you got. Just let me know that it's in my mind.